You are listening to the oneofus.net podcast network. Oneofus.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to oneofus.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
You, but I like my movies the way I like my coffee, full of outdated, outmoded racial stereotypes, unfunny gay panic humor, and some really boneheaded, cringeworthy lines regarding pedophilia coming from the mouth of a child. Who wanted this movie? I am, of course, talking about Coffee and Kareem, the latest film to star the usually very funny Ed Helms.
Is it wrong that it took me a very long time to get that pun?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because Coffee and Kareem is the wit, the title.
Yes, I wasn't the last person.
I didn't get it.
You guys have got to be shitting me.
No, are you serious? I feel really? Like that pun is older than me.
Coffee and Kareem is the only funny part of this show, is the title. Is that that's the wittiest thing about this movie?
No, that's the
other funny stuff, just not much.
Okay, so to help me discuss this movie and definitely not talk about coffee-related puns because they've disqualified themselves from ever doing that ever again, I am joined today by Mindy.
Hi.
Aaron.
Hello.
Julian.
Greetings.
I'm going to just very briefly give the synopsis and then let you guys just have at it. This is straight off of Wikipedia because I can't even be bothered to really think about it too much. It's about James Coffey, a police officer played by Ed Helms. He's in a relationship with Taraji P. Henson. She's got a 12-year-old boy named Kareem. You saw that one coming. 12-year-old boy, Kareem, does not like that his mom is dating this white cop, so he hires, or attempts to hire, a local criminal fugitive.
Like you do.
Orlando Johnson, played by Ron Rico Lee, and, well, let's just say things go bad. He sees some things he shouldn't have seen, just like this movie, which I should have never seen. And then, you know, hijinks ensue. What do you guys think about this?
Right away, I have to point out that I think the movie kind of dropped the ball in addressing the fact that its setup involves a 12-year-old boy trying to either hire out a murder or at the very most a crippling assault. Like he flat out went there with that express purpose. There was no ifs, ands, or buts about it. And they totally blow over that the rest of the movie.
Oh, yeah. His mom. I hated that. It's like when he tells his either Coffee or Kareem tells his mom, it's like, yeah, we hired this guy to try and kill him. And his mom doesn't even seem to care. It's like, this is your boyfriend and your son tried to have him murdered.
Hey, boys will be boys.
Right. Bless his little heart.
I remember when when my mom started dating after her divorce. I mean, there was lots of times I would go to the local boxing gym and just hire some low-level thug to go beat up her new boyfriend. I mean, what 12-year-old hasn't done that? So who hated this movie more?
Actually, I'm not going to lie. I didn't hate the movie. I acknowledge that.
Actually liked it, which is shocking. God,
I can't say that. I liked parts of it. Netflix is weird. Netflix, which put this out, they have a tendency to make sci-fi films that are decent ideas that are terribly executed. They make decent rom-coms that, if they're not horribly offensive, they're actually really good. And their comedy is always terrible, but tickles that part of Hate Watch that I really enjoy. Like, I liked The Package, which I acknowledge is an atrocious film. It is horrible, but it still made me laugh. And that's kind of like what watching this movie was like for me. There are large swaths of it that are just horribly offensive and uncouth and a slog to get through. But anytime the gangsters turned and started to be very aware of their emotional status and acknowledge it, I giggled a bit. And anytime Betty Gilpin, who does not appear to be related to Perry Gilpin, despite my research, showed up on screen, like, even though she's doing the exact same shtick she did in The Hunt, which I loved her in, I still dug her in this movie, even though I was like, oh, that's the look from that scene in The Hunt. And there's that look she made there, too. Like, no one really is trying, but...
Especially whoever wrote the screenplay.
Oh, yeah, right. bad script.
Yeah, there were, like, three moments throughout the entire movie where, like, I almost had, like, a half smile. Where someone got, like, side characters, I think, are the ones who really shine in this movie.
Yeah.
To me, watching this, just thinking about it right now, hearing you guys discuss it a little bit, has anyone ever seen Role Models?
Yep.
No.
That
I
movie?
I know of it, but I haven't seen it.
Yeah. This comes off as something trying to be, like, a cop Role Models movie. Whereas that movie has a little kid cussing a lot, and it's hilarious. This does that, and you're like... Oh, God, this is some tired shit. Like, I just saw Good Boys. I think that's what it was called a few months ago, and that was a lot of fun. This was not.
Kareem is the low point of the movie. And it's like, as you said, it's like once the side characters started, you know, gangsters started feeling their emotions, sort of thing, once it started to get utterly ridiculous, it started to be okay. But at the beginning, when it's just this little kid being horrifying. Yeah, when it's just Coffee and Kareem, and Kareem in particular is just being horrible. He is just saying just vile, disgusting stuff just for reasons, and is being horrifyingly awful to the point of being evil. That is just... unpleasant. But then when it gets to these people in this drug deal and people being so over the top and being such caricatures, then it becomes a farce, then it becomes okay. But that's, you know, 2/3 to 3/4 into the movie before it gets there.
Yeah, the characters were really underdeveloped in that way, because you're right. They're talking about him having to do a poetry presentation. He's like, oh, I'm a rapper. It's like, okay, character moment.
I mean, it only vaguely connects to the Ronrico Lee character's role, because he is a fugitive who is... The guy he goes to hire, ostensibly, is connected to this whole drug trading world. But it's really, he's a low-level guy. He's a guy who was in the rap game and thought, okay, he has to have this image in order to maintain a musical career, and has kind of reached the point where he kind of wants to get out of it. And you kind of see Kareem kind of going down that route. But yeah, it's not explored. It's there as a very weak motivation. And frankly, you know, like Mindy was saying about the funny sort of arch dialogue between the henchmen. I've seen that self-aware dialogue between henchmen in lots of other movies and done better. There's no original idea in this screenplay.
No. I bet it would, like, write it off as references. Yeah, they would reference other things, or they would just, like, rip off something.
Yeah, I mean, it's 48 Hours, it's Bad News Bears, it's that whole idea of, like, oh, kids cursing, isn't that funny?
And making fun of pedophilia.
Well, I mean, anything can be a joke, it just has to be funny, which this movie doesn't know what that is. But they kept
going into it over and over and over and over and over again. Also about a joke is you do it a little bit, and then it becomes funny. You don't drag it into the ground, and that's also one of the failings of this.
I think that you can make jokes about homophobia. You can make light of what shows these people, what's wrong with them, and you can have them grow and change. But there was nothing really clever with what they were doing. But one thing I wanted to ask, since I don't think we're going to talk about this long, and it was one thing that made me go, like, what? Is there a Point Break reference in this movie?
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, when he gets frustrated and shoots up in the air.
Like, lots of things like that. Like, what was the, like, level for... Like, you said once this went nuts, you started to kind of like it. That's where it started to fall off for me. Like, when this just went totally off the rails, I was like, okay, someone should be dead. All of them should be dead now. Mm-hmm. What is happening? It's like, where are the stakes? Like, where can I, like, be like, are they going to make it through this? Like, it just... I was never on the edge.
I have to admit... When the big bad was finally revealed, and not that it was hard to guess, but when it finally revealed, I remember looking at the little timer at the bottom of the screen thinking, oh God, thank God we're almost ready to wrap up. We had 30 more minutes to go. This movie just dragged for me. And
it is
an hour and 30 minutes. It should not drag. There's a lot of funny people here in this movie, but oh my God, none of them are served well by this screenplay. I don't think we need to kick this thing. It's already on the ground. You know, anything further is just cruel. So, Mindy, share your feelings, your final thoughts on this one.
Well, like I said, it's like once it just went cuckoo bananas, it was somewhat okay. But the big meh, I hate this part of the film is the title character of Kareem. He's a horrible little kid that I just want somebody to punch in the face and shoot. He's kind of redemptive when he stops being as much of a little bitch, but not really. And when you have the title character be one of the worst things about the movie, that's a problem. But like I said, once it just started getting into ridiculous, farcical town, over the top explosions, you know, craziness, it was okay. But that comes, like I said, at least halfway, if not more, into the film. So I will give it 2 shots from a taser out of 10.
Aaron, what say you?
I think I'm the one who had the most enjoyment out of this, even though I'm still not going to sit here and call it a good movie. Like, ultimately, if you want a kid bonds with the boyfriend of his mom, go watch Dutch with Ed O'Neill back in the day instead. Like, this movie makes the cardinal sin of having its main character, like was said, be kind of an unrepentant evil person. And the kind of jokes that he was telling work great if you're a 13 to 14 year old kid. But once you grow up at all beyond that, I find that this kind of a character just isn't enjoyable. And especially one to root an entire movie. Ed Helms and Taraji P. Henson are really trying. As are all the various gangster side characters who make the last half of the movie for me. Like, I do agree that I think the movie gets significantly better in the back half, but it's not because it necessarily goes crazy. It's just because the side characters have a little bit more time to shine and develop their personalities. And they're all more entertaining than the main story because they don't have Kareem in them, which sucks because, like, I don't think the kid was necessarily a bad actor. It's just that he was given a bad character. And so, yeah, like, it's okay. It's a bad comedy on Netflix that is not a terrible way to kill an hour and a half on a weekend with some beers and some friends in quarantine.
I would argue.
I would give it.
That's your time to talk.
I would give it 2 horribly blood and guts covered bags of cocaine out of 5.
Julian?
Yeah, this is one of those movies I'm sure was sitting on a shelf somewhere. Someone was trying to get paid. They're like, get this fuck out there. And the only thing worse than a bad comedy is nothing. There is nothing worse as far as movies go than something that is trying to make you laugh. And it doesn't. I never laughed watching this. I almost smiled at 2 parts, 2 of the side actors. The guy who gets his car door broken talking about getting a cup of coffee in Detroit, I was like, ah, almost something. That was okay. And then there was like one of the guys who was a gangster who was kind of like being a cliche. It was almost funny. But yeah, like this missed the mark that it could have hit really hard. They could have had fun, but they were clearly improvising too much. Yeah, this was a bad comedy. I recommend this to no one. I give this 3 grains of coffee creamer out of 10, of powdered coffee creamer. And, like, it looks like a movie, I guess. Shit.
Yeah, I mean, that's my go-to. And like, look, I'm giving you a point for something. Your shots were in focus. That's your point there. I enjoy a good throwback comedy, you know? And this movie feels like it's mired in every cliche from the 80s and 90s action buddy cop kind of movie. But it just, look, I don't care how crass or insensitive your humor is, you have to make me laugh. And if you're crass and insensitive and not funny, then man, it's really hard for me to recommend this to anybody. There's some very funny people. Again, you can only do so much. What do you expect from the guy who directed Stuber? And hey, I didn't even hate Stuber as much as I dislike this. So I'm that one guy who thought, Stuber isn't horrible. But man, it was nowhere near as mean-spirited as this one is. If you want a edgy humor about race relations between, you know, cops and black people, then hey,
watch something else.
48 hours again. I mean, that's better, and that's already 40 years old practically. There's nothing fresh in this. If your taste and attitudes haven't changed since, say, I don't know, 1992, you might dig this. But for everybody else, I think we've moved on. I'm going to give this 3.5 out of 10 buffets at a strip joint. So on that note, guys, let's go and talk about some better movies somewhere else. So